Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. May the Lord bless you today. And I've got a word from the Lord, which actually includes something that Fritz said. Where's Fritz gone? There he is. Yeah, you don't know what I'm preaching about today, but yeah, that was good what you said. Thank you. But today, I just want us to make room for the Holy Spirit. You've all had a big week. Some of you have had a good week. Some of you had a week that you'd rather forget about. We have those. Life is like that, isn't it? But the one constant in our life is the love of God.
Amen.
And the presence of God. And so today I've got a little message, which I'll introduce in a few moments. But through the message, we'll be making room for the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives. I'll stop at certain points and we're going to pray. But what I'd like us to do right now is I just want to pray for people. We'll pray together for people. For people who are not well, but you've got pain. Is anybody who's got pain in their bodies right now? Just you've got pain, might be in your knees, back, muscular, it might be in your joints, might be a headache, migraine. We are going to come against pain in the name of Jesus. So if that's you, if you're able to, could you stand to your feet if that's you? And then, so there's a few people who are standing right now. And I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front. I'm just simply going to ask that the people around you just gently, if they're near you, able to put their hands upon you, on your shoulders, just very gently. Don't push anybody or anything like that. Don't shake them or anything. That's just not necessary. Or if you're not near them, you can at least reach out your hand to them in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus is with us. And he's going to move right now through the body of Christ here at Real Life Church. Come on, let's start praying. If you know the person's name, just whisper their name before the Lord. Come on, just reach out to Jesus now. Come on. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the name of Jesus is above every other name. We thank you there's no higher name in the entire universe, in all of creation, than the name of Jesus. We thank you that at the name of Jesus, sickness has to bow the knee. We thank you that Jesus, you have all authority over sickness. And Jesus, Almighty God, you've given Jesus' name to us to use. And so today, we pray to you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, for good health to flow through Real Life Church right now. We come against pain in people's bodies. There's people here today who are in pain and they take tablets, and Lord, it does makes little difference. They're still in pain. And so we bring the pain to you, and whatever is the source and the cause of that pain, we pray for healing of that situation right now. We pray over muscles. We pray over joints. We pray over the head. We pray over organs. We pray, Lord, against migraines and headaches. We pray against pain in our bodies, and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those who are elderly. Lord, we don't have to put up with pain just because we're old. And we say in the name of Jesus, pain be gone. Those who are younger, in the name of Jesus, pain be gone. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we cast pain out and we speak good health over one another today in Jesus' name. We speak into your pain and we say, be gone in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And they shouted. Amen. Now, could you just repeat this after me, everybody in the church? Almighty God, right now, I receive the answer to that prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Father, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for everybody here. I thank you, Lord, for those who are online as well, watching today, some with COVID, some with that flu that's been going around. Lord, we're here together. And Lord, we just want to capture this next moment. Lord, these next 30 minutes, we just pray, Lord, that they will be sacred minutes, sacred moments in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to read, who remembers we were looking at Psalm 23? Seems like such a long time ago. I actually didn't finish it off. And, you know, I just thought I'd revisit Psalm 23. Is that okay, everybody, today? We've had some great messages and we've had Easter and it's just been absolutely wonderful. But, you know, we've got Psalm 23 behind us, or at least the opening phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of you have even bought T-shirts. Anybody here bought a shirt? That we should have a, what on Name Tag Sunday, what if everybody who's bought one of those t-shirts that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What if we wear our t-shirts on it, Sunday? Yeah, all the cool people will be wearing their t-shirts. There's a couple who that they're not claimed. So there's a few more. So if you would like to buy, you know, obviously we hope it's your size, but if you'd like to buy a t-shirt, then there's still some for sale. About five left, Rochelle's saying. So absolutely fantastic. I was wearing mine in the dome and it got people's attention. How about that? So you could walk it, wear it anywhere you go. Amen. It's funny how people don't know how to process it. I've got another shirt. They just don't. They don't. They look at you and they go, "Oh, people remember the Lord is my shepherd." People get flashbacks. Well, I've got the other shirt that we did which says God is able. Who remembers that? Well, you know how when you buy a shirt, it's brand new and you wear it out, then it gets demoted over time until you're wiping the table with it. Amen. I got some shirts, the God is able. They're my, if I go to the gym, I wear them at the gym and I sweat and everything. But it says God is able. And I love wearing it to the gym because as soon as I walk in, everybody looks at you. First of all, they look at your face. And then you see their eyes drop down to the words on your shirt. And it's so funny watching people trying to figure out what does that mean. And when they realize that I'm looking back, they go. So wear your shirt because it becomes a way to engage people. And it's just absolutely terrific. Amen. So what if we read Psalm 23 together? And I reckon, it'd be good if we stood. What do you reckon, everybody? Come on, let's stand to our feet. From the King James Version. And it's the only way, really, to read Psalm 23 is the King James Version. Here we go, together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come on. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, runneth over. Surely goodness and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you. And don't you just love that verse where it says, yay, though I walk through. Yay, amen. There's nothing like a good yay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Actually, verse 4, it says, yea. Can we all say yea together?
Yea.
Yea. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will. For. Amen. Of course, we need, this is a proviso. I just want to say this. This Bible verse is not applicable to everybody. Everybody, you hear it all over the place, at funerals or even, special occasions. But we know this verse is only applicable to you if the Lord is your shepherd. You can't just cherry pick a Bible verse, and say, yeah, the Lord's not my shepherd, but yay, they will walk through. No, 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 they go together. Amen. So the message today is going to focus on those five words that say, for thou art with me. Today's message is titled, a fire, a fish, and a lion's den. Amen. And today's message is built around three powerful, iconic Bible stories. Now, I just want to say this. I want to go on record that the stories that I'm going to share with you today are literal stories. They're not fables. In fact, I'm going to go on record because, Rochelle, I'm getting worked up because I hear things out there and some of what preachers are preaching. Let me tell you, the book of Genesis is literal and not a fable either. Adam and Eve are literal people. Noah's Ark actually did happen. It's literal. It's the truth of God's word. And these stories I want to share with you are absolutely literal. They happened. The first story is about three boys who were captured in a terrible war, and of course we're very familiar right now with the terrible war that's happening in the Ukraine, and we pray that it will stop in Jesus' name, amen. These three boys were in a similar war, terrible war, and they were taken by the invading conquerors to live in the infamous city of Babylon. Absolutely. These three boys, and they were very young, suffered great trauma because each boy lost his parents. They lost their family, lost their siblings. They lost their homes. They lost their culture. And they even lost their birth names. Their Babylonian conquerors renamed them Shadrach. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to call Abednego, but it's Abednego. Can anybody remember what their Hebrew names were? Ananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Amen. Amen. Good Bible question. So in a foreign land, these three boys, when you think about it, you know, they had to go through a massive change. They had to learn how to adapt. They had to learn the language. They had to learn and behave like Babylonians if they wanted to survive. However, these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they not only survived, but they actually thrived. And they grew into strong, intelligent, highly motivated, hardworking young men. And that's because they made the remarkable decision to not be bitter about their severe childhood losses. See, if you're still bitter about the past, you never will thrive in the future. And so these boys made that decision. We're not going to be bitter anymore. But instead they chose to continue to trust Almighty God with their lives and with their future. They also chose to honor God by forgiving their conquerors and being a blessing and a help to their conquerors. And God was with them. But one day, you all know the story, but please listen to it again. One day, the emperor, whose name was Nebuchadnezzar, he had a huge statue constructed. And Nebuchadnezzar was a brutal, narcissistic, egomaniac. If I could get a parallel in this modern day we're living in, think of Vladimir Putin, Nebuchadnezzar. Vladimir Putin, Nebuchadnezzar, narcissistic, egomaniac. And this gold statue that stood, by the way, 30 meters high, was made in an image to represent Nebuchadnezzar himself. And the emperor demanded that all the people bow down in the direction of the golden statue when a certain sound was made, when there was a certain kind of music was played. He demanded that everybody worship his statue. Really, what he was saying is, everybody, you've got to worship me. Bow down to the statue. The emperor made it clear that failure to worship his statue would result in the non-compliant person being thrown into a fiery furnace where they would die in absolute agony. This was no idle threat. The man was a madman. However, to everyone's astonishment, when the music was played, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bravely, courageously refused to bow their knees to the golden image. Just three boys. Where was everybody else? Just three boys stood their ground. Now, in the past, these three young men had demonstrated great respect for the emperor, to the emperor. But they had also made it clear that they were followers of Almighty God. They weren't afraid to wear their "The Lord is my shepherd" t-shirt. Amen. And they made it clear that they would never bow to any other god or to any man. So then they were captured, they were arrested, they were brought before the mighty emperor himself. That would have been intimidating, incredibly intimidating. They were brought before the mighty emperor for judgment. Nonetheless, even with the threat of a painful death, these three young men still refuse the king's demand that they bow down and worship the golden statue. The king, the Bible says, was furious. His veins stood out in his face. He wasn't used to people defying him. He was so angry. He was angry that they just wouldn't comply. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unmoved by the king's anger. Oh, that we would have that same courage and the same devotion to the Lord our God today. Amen. And so, King Nebuchadnezzar had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace as he had threatened. Nebuchadnezzar, the evil despot of Babylon, then sat down on his throne, had a mobile throne as well. He sat down on his throne to watch the three young men as they fell into the fire. He was an evil, brutal man. He looked forward to hearing them scream for mercy. He looked forward to hearing them scream and suffer as they endured a painful death. But instead, Nebuchadnezzar and his officials jumped to their feet in shock because Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego did not scream in pain at all. And neither did they just ignite in flames. Incredibly, they stood up in the fire and they started to walk around in the furnace, in the fire. They walked around and another person appeared in the fire with them. And Nebuchadnezzar himself exclaimed, "The fourth man looks like God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had gone into this fire of destruction, anticipating a gruesome death. But God met them in the fire, and God brought heaven down into that fiery furnace of death. And the pre-incarnate Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, walked with them in the fire, in the flames. These three young guys had an impromptu revival meeting with Jesus right in front of the king of Babylon. Praise the Lord! Eventually the king, I reckon he'd fallen to his feet. Fallen down on the ground. The shocked king then got up and he called the boys out of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out! And they came out. And the king and his officials noted that they were not harmed, their clothes weren't even singed, and there was not even any smell of smoke upon them. That's what you call deliverance. Amen. And the king responded by giving these three boys positions of power in his government, and he declared, "No God is like their God." Amen. But you just think about this. Forever after, those three young men would have remembered the day when God met with them in the fire. What was meant to be their last day, the last day of their lives, became the best day of their lives. Amen. I just had a revelation just then. I think the last day of our lives will be the best day of our lives. Amen. When we go to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. But this story is for you. It's for me. Nebuchadnezzar represents the devil. Babylon represents the fallen world. And fire is a metaphor for the terrible trials of life that we go through. And perhaps today, and it wouldn't surprise me, perhaps today you're in the fire of a ferocious trial. And it's not the place you want to be. But God says this to you in Isaiah 43, verse 2. He says, "When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Dear brother and sister at Real Life Church, those online, you will come through your trial. The flames will not destroy you. And that's because Jesus is with you in your trial. Jesus is with you in your fire. He brings heaven into your fiery furnace. He turns the table on the enemy. And yay, 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 though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does that mean? It means God is with you in the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here today who thinks, yeah, I'm going through a bit of a trial right now. I feel like I'm in a bit of a fire. I am in a fire. Anybody, like that? Anybody right now? One person, two, three, four, bunch of you. Do you want to stand to your feet? We're going to pray. I said we're going to make room for the Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Come on. Come, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that good things are going to come out of this trial that you're going through. That the thing that the enemy means for evil, God is going to use it for his good. And people are going to say, there is no God like your God. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you reckon? And I'm going to also pray that we're going to pray together that God will open your eyes so that you'll see Jesus with you in your situation. Come on, everybody, just reach out your hands. Maybe if you're nearby, you can put your hands upon them. Come on, come on. No, you know, nobody wants to go through a trial. Absolutely. But sometimes we're in it because we live in Babylon. And so, Father, we just come before you. Everybody praying. If you know their name, whisper their name before the Lord. Come on. Holy Spirit, we're just so glad that you're here. Oh, we're so glad that your presence with us. You haven't left us as orphans, Jesus, when you ascended to heaven. You sent the Holy Spirit who dwells with his people as we worship you. And so we pray for those who are standing to their feet, acknowledging that they're in a fire, they're in a trial, and stuff is raging around, trouble is around them. And so we pray for them today. We pray, Father, first of all, that you'll open their eyes and they'll see Jesus in this trial. Lord, they'll see the fingerprints of God. Lord, we pray you'll turn the table on the devil today, and we pray the presence of Jesus Christ with our brothers and sisters in their difficult times. And Lord, we declare that this trial, this fire will not burn them up, but that you will bring them through. And we also pray, Lord, you'll use this time, this situation for good. Lord, we pray that our brothers and sisters will grow in you, but we pray for those who are watching them, those who are observing them, that they will be able to say, no God is like their God, Lord, as you bring them through. So in the name of Jesus, we speak over those who are standing today, for thou art with me, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And you are blessed. Amen. Amen. A second story, God told a man named Jonah to go to a huge city called Nineveh. Was so huge. We have quite a lot to tell you about Nineveh if you want to hear it, but you don't, so it doesn't matter. But one thing I will tell you is walls alone that surrounded the city of Nineveh. At that time, it was the most important city in the world. The walls were 12 kilometers long. It was just an incredibly huge city, evil city. And God told Jonah, go to the huge city of Nineveh. God told Jonah to warn the people in that city that destruction was coming to them if they did not repent and stop being wicked and evil. I also just want everybody to know is that you can't be right with God if you don't repent of your sins. See, if you're going to be right with God and go to heaven, it starts with repentance. Saying, God, I'm going to turn my back on my sins and I'm going to follow God. And that's just a message here. God told him to warn the people that if they did not repent and stop being wicked and evil, destruction would come. But Jonah, he was conflicted. He was a conflicted man. Interesting individual, this man. He had a serious attitude issues. He had serious attitude issues. Who's sitting next to somebody today who's got serious attitude issues? Yeah. So Jonah wasn't on his own. Amen. The problem was this, and he was actually kind of justified. Actually, he was very justified. Jonah did not like the people of Nineveh, and he had good reason for that. And he really wanted them to be destroyed. He really hoped that they would not repent. He wanted them to be destroyed. He had no compassion for them. He didn't want to tell them about the coming judgment. He wanted them to be judged. He really didn't like them. So instead of obeying God, he boarded a ship in order to get away as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could, and also to get as far away from God as he possibly could. But God was not finished with Jonah. And you might be running away from God today. And let me tell you, God's not finished with you today. You can run, but you can't hide. Amen. So God sent a ferocious storm that threatened to break up the tiny ship as it sailed across the Mediterranean Sea. And the experienced sailors They'd just never seen such a terrible storm. They were experienced, but this was something else. And they just didn't know what to do. And so Jonah told them that he was the cause of the storm. So then out of fear for their lives, the sailors reluctantly picked Jonah up and they threw him overboard into the raging sea. And incredibly, the storm stopped at once. And those sailors, you know, they worshiped God. But the moment that Jonah splashed into the water and plunged a few meters underneath the water, the raging water, and then it stopped, God had a huge fish swim by and swallow him whole. Clearly, Jonah's day was going from bad to worse. I don't want to cause controversy here, but it does say a fish. So I'm just being technical here. And I believe it was probably a giant white pointer, but we'll leave it at that. With no teeth. Amen. Amen. Anyway, the great fish swallowed him, and then the great fish swam with Jonah in its belly down, down, down into the depths of the sea. Deeper and deeper, the huge fish swam, carrying Jonah further and further and further down into the deepest depths. Jonah later wrote about this experience. He said, I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed was wrapped itself around my head, and I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. Of course, it was just dark. There's no light inside this creature, fish or whale, whatever it was. There was no light in there. Jonah was enveloped in utter darkness, and there was no way for Jonah to get out of that fish. He was doomed to be digested by that giant fish. And already he was probably feeling itchy from the enzymes. And you know, if I go like this long enough, you'll all be scratching saying, amen. This story, it's just a great story. It's a true story. It has much to say to us, because there are occasions in life where, for whatever reason, we may find ourselves in dark, painful places of despair. The grind of life does take an emotional toll upon everybody, doesn't it? And there are occasions perhaps where we become depressed and despondent. Just gets just too much. You know when you have all those bad news things happen? You know when you get 25 of them in a row and you go, seriously? I should have just stayed under the doona today. Amen. And then when you have that in a few days in a row, and then God seems really far away. Because who knows that sometimes you're not going to feel God every day. Yes. You know? He seems far away. And things become dark. And we don't know how to escape. I'm being digested by despair. I'm being digested by depression. And I'm alone. Do you know you can be alone and be surrounded by a crowd of people? Depression in all its varieties is just awful, and it's debilitating. Sometimes Christians get depressed too. I want to say that happens. And Jonah said about his experience, as my life was slipping away, have you ever felt like that? I remembered the Lord. And today, I'm trying to remind you about the Lord. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. He didn't say I felt the Lord. He said I remembered the Lord. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. And he answered me. I called to you. He changes his language now where he's speaking directly to the Lord. He says, I called to you from the land of the dead. That's what depression can feel like. I'm in the land of the dead. I called to you from the land of the dead. And Lord, you heard me. You, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Amen. God heard Jonah pray, even though he was in the dark, stinking belly of this huge fish swimming in the darkest depths of the sea. How was God able to hear Jonah in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea? Well, God heard Jonah from the dark place because God was with him in the dark place. He was there all along. There's some irony in this story. Jonah thought he could run away from God, but God showed Jonah that he was with him even deep down at the bottom of the sea. You can't run away from God. Amen. In the same way, God is with you. It's not just a cliche, it's a truth. And God hears you, even when you feel depressed and like you're in the land of the dead. And so Jonah, the conflicted, grumpy preacher with bad attitudes, you're glad he wasn't your pastor, amen, amen. He encountered God while at his lowest point in his life. And suddenly your low point becomes your high point. And God ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And there was no way that God was going to allow that fish to digest Jonah. Amen? In the same way, everybody, depression, despondency, and despair will not digest you either. I'm speaking prophetically right now. I'm speaking words of faith. In the same way, depression, despondency, and despair will not digest you either. God will not allow it. You are coming out of that dark place and back into the light in Jesus' name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God is with you in the fire, and God is with you in the belly of a huge fish. Now, let's make room for the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be in despair now. We're going to pray differently because what I don't want is people coming up to you afterwards offering you counseling and everything. You don't need that. You need a touch of the Holy Spirit right now. You need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Just put your hand upon your heart if this is relevant to you right now. So let's pray differently. Holy Spirit's just healing people right now. I'm sensing His love for you, sensing His arms around you. And you're right when you say other people don't understand. Absolutely, we don't understand. But the Holy Spirit understands. And we're so glad, Holy Spirit, that you do understand. We thank you that you know exactly how we feel. You know when we're feeling good and you know when we're feeling blue. And your love remains constant. And Lord, we just pray right now for one another that the joy of the Lord will flow through Real Life Church today. Especially on those who are feeling really down and feeling depressed even. Despondent about the circumstances of life or just despondent just because. Whatever the reason, it really doesn't matter. We just speak the joy of the Lord into our lives today, especially those who have got their hand upon their heart. And we declare over them today that they're coming through, they're coming out in Jesus' name. So in the name of Jesus Christ, let there be light in your situation. And everybody said, amen. The third story concerns a political statesman who would faithfully serve the Lord. Is this story ever, is two enough or shall I go for a third? Everybody good for the third? I think we've got just a bit of time. And this political statesman served the Lord while serving and working in Babylon. We've gone back to Babylon. Daniel was highly respected. He was recognized by others to be a man of integrity, and his contributions to the welfare of the people living in Babylon were significant. However, just as Daniel was looking forward to a quieter life in his old age, trouble came his way. Older people are not exempt from trials and troubles. Sort of when you're younger and you look at older people, you think, they're old, they've got their act together. Let me tell you something about older people. None of them have their act together. Amen. And we're not exempt from trials and troubles. Senior citizens are not exempt from spiritual attacks either. The devil's not finished with you until you go to be with Jesus. So there were some politicians and men of power who resented Daniel's great success. So they set him up for destruction. You know the story. But unlike other politicians, Daniel had never been involved in any scandals. And neither was he corrupt. And so his enemies couldn't find anything to get him with. They had no leverage. And so consequently, these enemy politicians knew they had to attack Daniel in the area of his faith because that's where he was strong. And they happened to know, because everybody knew, that Daniel prayed 3 times a day from his home to Almighty God. He used to open up the windows and pray towards Jerusalem. People could see him praying to Almighty God. So these politicians approached the king, who was named Darius, with a new law. And they asked the king to give the order that demanded that the people only pray to him, the king, and not to any other gods. And they said if people pray to any other gods, instead of to the great emperor, to the king, then they decreed that that person would be thrown into a den of lions. There's something about Babylon, fires and dens of lions. They really were pretty brutal people. What about just a fine? Amen. But no, they had fires and dens of lions. They had it all going on back there, didn't they? This new law appealed to the king's ego. He didn't give it a great deal of thought. It appealed to his ego. And he gave the law his authority, and the law was to last for just for 30 days. And so the enemies of Daniel watched to see what Daniel would do in response to this new edict, this new law, and Daniel did exactly what they anticipated he would do. Daniel refused to obey the law since it contradicted his God-given right to pray. And the authorities came, and they arrested Daniel for breaking the new law, and Daniel's enemies were just absolutely delighted. And that very night, old senior citizen Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. It was just a terrible experience to be thrown into a den of lions. And so a stone then was rolled over the mouth of the den, and it was presumed that Daniel would not survive very long at all. When the emperor Darius, who was a friend of Daniel, heard that Daniel had been arrested, he was immediately regretful and so sorry of what had happened. And that he was angry that he had allowed the ridiculous prayer law to be enacted. So when the morning came, King Darius went to the lion's den and he called out in anguish, "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Silence. Then eventually, Daniel answered, "Long live the king! My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in..." Amen. "In his sight." Amen. All night long, Daniel had been surrounded by hungry lions. But God was with Daniel. And God summoned an angel to protect Daniel from all of those lions. The wicked enemies of Daniel had planned for Daniel to have an encounter with those ferocious lions. But God turned Daniel's situation around, and Daniel had an encounter with the angels of heaven instead. Amen. Those ferocious, hungry lions represent demonic powers that are against you and that attack you and are against your family. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But this is what the Lord promises you. Receive these words in Jesus' name. For God will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. The Bible also says you will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Amen. And the Bible also says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will succeed. What happened to Daniel? Daniel was released, and his enemies were then thrown into the lion's den instead, and they were consumed by the lions. Bible says, actually, they were consumed before they even hit the floor. Every bone in their bodies was broken. But not a scratch was found on Daniel, for he had trusted. This is so important. For he had trusted in the Lord his God. Who are you trusting in? The local politician? Probably not. Amen. Amen. But who are you? Your own abilities? That's crazy. Daniel trusted in the Lord his God. And real life church is just about finished. God is with you in the fire. God is with you when you're in the belly of the huge fish at the bottom of the sea. And God is with you in the lion's den. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.